O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Speak to us through the preached word. Inspire our minds, warm our hearts, and move our bodies to serve you now and always. Amen. Do you remember the first story of faith that you ever heard, or the person who told that story to you? I can't say that I remember the first story of faith that I ever heard, but I remember the rhythm of it. Lying in bed as a child waiting for my dad to come and to share stories with me and my two older sisters before we went to sleep. Daniel, Samuel, David, they were regular visitors through our bedtime. And I also remember sitting in my grandmother's living room with the record players. You remember the record players and the little records that would with the dramatized Bible stories. And my grandmother would sit there and she would play. The Exodus was a big hit with us, and Adam and Eve and Jacob and Esau each carry their own tension and surprises and always a lesson that was worth hanging on to. Stories have a way of shaping us, of forming us into who we are. They tell us not only who we are, but where we have been and what matters most. In a world that is overflowing with breaking news and streaming series and endless updates, it's easy to forget the old stories. The ones that have carried faith across generations. It's easy to let go of the conversations that connect us to the people and the God who brought us thus far in our journey. And that's why the book of Deuteronomy really matters, and it's a powerful book. Tucked in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, as our Jewish siblings call it, this book is a call to remember. It's Moses retelling the people's stories, reminding them who God is, who they are, and how they are to live as a people who are set apart. It's not just history, it's a sacred family story meant to be told and retold and told again and lived. After God had freed the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt, they journeyed to Mount Sinai. Exodus 19 tells us on the exact third month anniversary of the Israelites leaving the land of Egypt, they came into the Sinai desert. And while they camped at the foot of the mountain, Moses went up to meet with God. He returned to the people with a message, a call to remember their journey so far, the ways that God had provided for them, and an invitation into something new, a covenant. This was not a casual agreement. It was a covenant relationship meant to be one of mutual faithfulness. God's steadfast love met by the people's steadfast obedience. But the first generation, as you may well know, who said yes to God's invitation never entered into the promised land. Their choices in the wilderness disqualified them from the promises that came afterward. And now they were gone. And Moses finds himself standing on the far side of the Jordan River, with a new generation of people just in sight of the promised land, knowing that his own death was near and that he would never himself get there. He has the new generation gathered before him, and once again he speaks. And he reminds them of their story, renewing the covenant and calling them to live faithfully with God and one another. And this is the moment when we hear the words that Larry read to us today. Words that have become a treasured prayer in the Jewish tradition called the Shema. A word that simply means listen. But as the late theologian Walter Brueggemann reminds us, this is no casual call to listening or to hear. It is a summons to listen with a proclivity to obey. For Israel, listening was never meant to be passive. It was an active, attentive hearing that moved the heart towards faithful action, a hearing that produced obedience, and an obedience that in turn opened the way for God's blessings to be showered upon the people. The same truth runs through the heart of our movie for today, Coco. The idea that remembering is not just nostalgia, but a living connection to who we are, whose we are, and the kind of future we will build together. If you have not seen the movie Coco, I highly recommend to you, as all of the other movies that we have seen, if you just have free weekends or a night where there's nothing great going on, put any one of those in, and it is a wonderful, will be a wonderful experience. And I particularly like Coco, and it's a story of this young boy, a young Mexican child who dreams of becoming a musician, even though music had been banned in his family for generations. And he was determined to prove his talent, and he finds himself unexpectedly transported to the land of the dead on the Dia de los Muertos. There he meets his ancestors and uncovers the long-buried truth about his family's past, especially about the man that he thought to be his great-grandfather. And as Miguel journeys through the land of the dead, he learns that remembering those who came before us is not only about honoring their memory, but about keeping their presence alive in our family's story. One of the most moving moments for me in the film comes near the end. Miguel returns to the living world and finds his great-grandmother, Mama Coco, slipping deeper and deeper into memory loss. He sits beside her and begins to sing a song her father used to sing to her titled Remember Me. Slowly, her face brightens, her eyes filled with recognition, and she begins to remember the father she loved. In that moment, a broken family story is mended through the power of memory and song. So let's watch a short clip of Miguel singing to his great-grandma.
Remember me. Though I have to say goodbye, remember me. Don't let it make you cry, for even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad guitar, know that I'm with you the only way that I can be. Until you're in my arms again, remember.
What we witness in Coco is more than just a touching moment between a boy and his great-grandmother. It's a parable about the power of remembering. When Mama Coco remembers her father, she also remembers who she is and where she comes from. That memory restores something that had been lost, and it changes the way that the family will live on from that day forward. And that's exactly what Moses is calling the people to do. Listen, he says, not just with your ears, but with your whole life. Remember the God who brought you out of Egypt. Remember the covenant that binds us together. Remember who you are and whose you are. This kind of listening is an act of remembrance, an act of honoring those who came before us, an act that breathes life into the stories of faith that we have been given. And when we remember in this way, we are moved to act, to live faithfully in our own time. We carry the stories forward, allowing them to shape our choices, to give us direction, and to guide the generations who will come before us. In the Shema, Moses is telling the people and us that faith, that the faith we inherit is not meant to be stored away like an old keepsake. It's meant to be lived, it's meant to be shared and passed on so that the story of God's love for God's people is never forgotten. As I was putting all of this together, I had honestly not considered how deeply this story would touch me and my heart and my own life. As a youth, I watched my grandmother lose herself to Alzheimer's. And 2.5 decades later, our family is walking through the same journey with my father, who these days doesn't remember much of who he is or who we are and all of the memories that we have built together and doesn't recognize the world around him. And yet our love for him continues to grow. The stories we share about him continue to inspire us and to keep him present in our hearts and to remind us that even though he may not remember who we are bound to one another in a way that even memory loss cannot erase. This is why I find that the words of Moses in Deuteronomy matter so much. The Shema is not just an ancient prayer. It is a life, not line. Listen, remember. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In God's design, remembering is not passive, it's active. It's choosing to honor the people who came before us. It is retelling the story of God's faithfulness so that it is not forgotten, so that in times of challenge, the people who did not experience those things will have hope. It is living in a way that gives the next generation a reason to believe. I think that for me, the lesson is this: the story of faith is not ours to keep. It is ours to carry. And in the same way that we carry these stories for a while, somebody will come after us and continue to carry the same story and move forward. Last week, as we read and heard from Ecclesiastes, we were reminded that there's nothing new under the sun. The writer of Ecclesiastes is kind of a cynic, and some of us may connect very deeply with him in our spirit. In looking out into the world and seeing all of the things that have happened and that continue to happen, and saying all of this has happened before, and undoubtedly it will happen again. And there is a level of despair that you can read in those words and in the text, but I don't believe that that's what was meant to be taken away from that in the same way that what is meant to be taken away from this and this story that Moses is sharing with a new generation of people they're about to encounter new things is that there is nothing under the sun that the God who created it all has not already seen. There's no circumstances that we can go through that our God cannot relate and cannot give us faith and peace and hope and his strength to journey through it. We carry these stories with us. And when we carry this, we carry the stories best with us when we live them out loud. When we talk about God's goodness at the table and on the road and in the morning and at night, when we live in such a way that the love of God is as real through us as the air that we breathe, we help the next generation to see hope in the midst of challenge and despair. Listen, our God is the Lord, only the Lord. The story of the people of Israel is an interesting story, because if you read through beyond Deuteronomy into the rest of the Old Testament, you begin to see some very clear patterns. God's faithfulness is met with temporary faithfulness on the people's part, and then, especially in the book of Judges, you hear words like, the people did what their ancestors had done, and they were unfaithful. And they fall into the hands of the enemies. And then they find themselves in a time of despair, and they pray to God, and they remember God's previous faithfulness, and God shows up and restores their hope, and they continue to go through the cycle. And the times that the cycle is broken is oftentimes when people remember. When they remember that the way that they live now, this is not the way that it has to be. It's not the way that it has always been. I think that one of the most beautiful stories in the Old Testament is the young King Josiah, who discovers this scroll of God's law, which had been lost, and begins to read it through the people. And there is a resurgence of faithfulness that comes through that. Remembering where we have been enables us to plant ourselves firmly in the here and now. It invites us to live with greater purpose, to honor not only the ones that have come before us, but the God who journeys with us and holds us closely. So here is the call for us to listen, to really listen to the story of God's faithfulness through our own lives, the lives of our parents, the lives of our grandparents, the lives of those who are generations removed, who enable the good news of God's love to get here to where we are, to remember, to tell it, to live it. And in doing so, we will find help to write the next chapter of God's story in our lives and in this world. So the long after that we are gone, the song of God's love will still be heard. We are vessels that carry these precious stories with us for a little while, and we pass them on to the next generation, trusting that the same God who sought us through whatever challenges we had will also see them. And these transitions, I think, happen much more often than we believe they do. In my life, the transition happened as I moved away. And the memory that I had of my father and my grandmother and the reality that I found them years after is not the same, but the memory continues to live in me. The love continues to flow. And I think about that as our daughter is about to go to college, and she's not that far away. But it is a major transition in our life in figuring out what it means for us now to live with one less person in the house all the time. And she may be celebrating it. But we grieve through that. We pray that the stories that we have shared with her, the life that we have lived together, have found room in her somehow, so that the stories continue to live forward wherever it is that she goes. And that is the prayer for all of us, that the stories that we have been entrusted with will continue to live in us, and we'll continue to tell them, and in doing what we do best, which is to live life with others, They will see and hear and know a God who loves us no matter what condition we find ourselves. A God who loves us even if we can't remember who God is. A God who loved us before we knew who we were and has loved us through our entire lives and calls us to continue to grow in our love and in faith. So friends, as we go forward from this place, remember that we have a story to tell. We have a God whose love for us is beyond our understanding and anything that we can do. And the promises that God has made to be, that Jesus made to be with us through the very end are true. Even if we are separated from people for momentarily, whether they have gone on to glory or remain physically with us, the love of God for us continues. For them continues to flow, and our love for them continues to grow in our hearts. So let us go forward, determined to listen, determined to retell the story and to live lives as those who have been set apart and called to share the love of God with all people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.